Hey there, deep divers. Ready for a deep dive into something maybe not as flashy as usual, but I promise it's super interesting.
Definitely.
We're going deep into the finances of Gordon Cooper Technology Center in Oklahoma.
Cool.
And you wouldn't think school finances could be a page-turner, but you know, it's actually really fascinating.
Definitely.
Especially when we've got a whole treasure trove of reports to dig into.
Oh, wow.
We've got yearly estimate of needs audits
yeah.
going all the way back to like 2015.
Okay.
And then even projected out to 2025.
Wow. That's a long span.
I know,
yeah.
right? And then we've got annual financial reports and audits.
Uh-huh.
And even some independent financial audit reports going back over a decade.
That's a lot of data.
I know. And it's really cool because it gives you a peek behind the curtain of how an institution like this really functions.
Oh, yeah. It's like getting to see their financial DNA.
Totally. So before we get into the nitty-gritty of the numbers, can you give us a little background?
Sure.
What makes Gordon Cooper unique in the education world?
So Gordon Cooper is a public technology center.
Okay.
Which basically means hands-on learning real-world skills.
Oh, cool.
The kind that prepare students to go straight into the workforce.
Gotcha.
They offer a huge range of programs, everything from construction to healthcare to IT, even culinary arts.
Wow, so they've really got it all.
They do.
But here's what's really interesting for this deep dive.
Okay.
They're not just for high schoolers.
Right.
They cater to adult learners, too.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a community college, but with a super specialized focus.
Yeah, it's a really unique model.
So they're bridging that gap between education and the actual jobs people are doing, which is so important.
Definitely.
Especially these days.
Especially these days.
And here's another layer of complexity.
Okay.
It's not just one town or city funding them.
Right.
It's multiple counties.
Yeah, they call them joint counties in the report.
Joint counties.
Yeah, so they're dealing with the needs and budgets of this much wider community.
So it's not your average school district budget, right? It's this whole ecosystem.
It really is.
Okay, so let's talk money.
All right, let's do it.
Where does all the funding for a place like this come from? What are the main ingredients in their revenue recipe?
Well, like most schools, it's a mix, but the proportions are what's really interesting.
Okay, spill the tea.
A huge chunk, and I mean a huge chunk, comes from local property taxes.
Okay.
You know, they actually call it ad valorem tax in the reports.
Fancy.
Yeah, we're talking over 55% in the early 2010s.
Wow, over half.
Yeah, so local property owners are directly supporting the school in a big way.
That's pretty amazing, but makes you wonder how stable is that?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Especially, you know, with the economy being kind of a roller coaster sometimes.
Right. Like, what happens if property values plummet?
Exactly.
That level of reliance on property taxes definitely makes them vulnerable to those kinds of shifts.
Oh, totally. And you know what's really fascinating is when you compare those estimate of needs reports over time, you actually see a slight decrease in that reliance on property taxes.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, so my question is, where's that money going? Where's the funding coming from to make up for that?
Looks like there's been a proportional increase in state aid.
Really? So the state's stepping up more?
It seems that way.
That's interesting. I wonder what's driving that.
Could be a bunch of things. Maybe there's growing recognition of how important vocational education is.
Mm.
Or maybe the state's funding formulas have changed.
Yeah, who knows? It's a bit of a puzzle.
Definitely something to keep an eye on.
I love a good financial puzzle.
Me too.
Okay, so we've got property taxes, state aid. What else is in this revenue mix?
Well, you've got tuition and fees, which average around 9 or 10%.
Okay.
And there's a pretty cool trend there. It's actually growing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, largely because they're getting more and more adult students.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're tapping into a whole new market while also diversifying their income.
So smart, right? They're like killing two birds with one stone.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered local, we've covered state. What about the feds? Are they kicking in anything?
They are, but not as much as you might think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, state contributions have been steady, you know, hovering around that 25 to 27% mark.
Okay.
And actually, they've been going up over time.
Interesting.
Which seems like a good sign, right?
Yeah, it seems like Oklahoma's really invested in this kind of education.
Mm-hmm. But then you look at the federal side and there's this kind of worrying trend.
Oh, no. What is it?
It's actually decreasing, especially for programs like Pell Grants.
Oh, it's not good.
No, because those grants are a lifeline for a lot of students who couldn't afford this kind of education otherwise.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I wonder if that's something specific to Gordon Cooper or if it's a bigger trend.
That's a good question. Something to think about for sure.
For sure. Okay, so before we move on to the spending side, there's one more piece of the puzzle.
What's that?
I kept seeing this term in the reports.
Okay.
The County Excise Board.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
They sound important.
They're basically the financial gatekeepers.
Well?
They look over Gordon Cooper's budget every year with a fine-tooth comb.
Wow, really?
Yeah, they make sure everything is by the book and that the budget is reasonable.
So it's all about accountability.
Yeah, making sure that the money is being used wisely.
Good to know.
Right.
Okay, so we've covered where the money comes from.
Right, the revenue side.
Now let's follow that money trail.
Let's do it.
And see where it's actually going.
Okay.
What are the big buckets that Gordon Cooper divides its spending into?
Pretty standard categories, actually.
Yep.
You've got instruction support services.
Uh-huh.
Operation of non-instructional services facilities,
mm-hmm.
and then just kind of a miscellaneous category.
Makes sense. Okay, so let's start with instruction.
Right.
That one seems pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, it covers all the costs tied to teaching and learning,
uh-huh.
teacher salaries,
yeah.
classroom materials, lab equipment, all that good stuff.
So the essentials.
Yeah, and Gordon Cooper puts their money where their mouth is on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they consistently allocate around 40% of their whole budget to instruction.
That's a big chunk.
Yeah, it shows they really prioritize education.
Definitely. But don't forget about all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Oh, yeah, true.
All the things that keep a school running smoothly.
It's like the unsung heroes.
Exactly. So where does that fall?
That's support services.
Support services.
Yeah, and that actually eats up a huge chunk of their budget, like around 45%.
Wow. So we're talking administration, building maintenance, IT, all that.
Yep. It's easy to overlook that stuff, but it's crucial for a good learning environment.
Totally. And I bet those costs just keep going up.
Oh, yeah. Especially things like utilities, employee benefits, tech upgrades. It's a constant balancing act for them.
It makes sense, though.
Right.
Okay, so I was looking through the reports and something caught my eye.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
Back in 2011, they dropped almost $900,000 on something called capital outlay.
Ooh, capital outlay.
Now, for those of us who aren't fluent in school finance, what did that even mean?
Basically, it's for big purchases.
Like what?
So let's say the school needs a new bulldozer for their construction program.
Okay.
Or they're building a whole new wing for culinary arts.
Mm-hmm.
That's capital outlay.
Oh, cool. So it's about investing in those long-term things.
Exactly. Things that will benefit students for years to come.
That's awesome. And then just a year later, they put over $1 million into facility additions.
Yeah, they were on a roll.
It's so cool to see those dollars turning into something real. You know,
totally. It shows they're not just talking the talk, they're walking the walk.
Absolutely. Okay, there's one cost we haven't talked about yet.
What's that?
The one that often feels like a total black box, pension.
Wow. Yeah, pensions.
Did you break down how those work, especially for Gordon Cooper?
So Gordon Cooper is part of the Oklahoma Teachers Retirement System, or OTRS.
OTRS.
It's a multi-employer defined benefit pension plan.
Okay, now in English, please.
Basically, it's like a giant pot of money that gets invested to provide retirement benefits for teachers across the whole state.
Okay.
So Gordon Cooper chips in along with other schools to make sure their teachers are taken care of after they retire.
That's cool. It sounds like a good system.
It is. But the reports show their required contributions kept going up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, partly because, you know, cost of living and all that. But it gets even more complicated.
Oh.
Yeah, when you bring in something called net pension liability.
Yeah, pension liability.
Catchy, right.
So catchy.
Think of it like a credit card balance.
Okay, I'm listening.
It's basically the difference between how much they estimate they'll owe in pensions and how much they have set aside to cover it.
So it's kind of like a debt they're carrying.
Exactly. It's a measure of their unfunded pension obligations.
Like a financial shadow.
I like that.
That's a try.
And when this liability first popped up in 2015, it definitely impacted their finances.
Yeah, it makes you think about those long-term consequences.
It really does.
Okay, so we've looked at their income, we've looked at their spending, even those tricky pension things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, big picture question. Based on all these reports, is Gordon Cooper in good financial shape?
You know what? Despite all those challenges we talked about, you know, the fluctuating property taxes, the rising costs of everything, the looming pension obligations, the good news is they kept getting a clean bill of health from auditors year after year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're managing their finances responsibly and transparently.
That's reassuring.
Right.
Definitely. But a clean audit doesn't mean smooth sailing forever, does it?
You're right. A clean audit is a good sign, but it's not the whole story.
What else should we be looking at?
Well, we need to see if they're actually growing their financial base.
Makes sense.
And the good news is, even with that net pension liability, they steadily increased their net assets from 2011 to 2016.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, they also kept a healthy cash flow and a strong investment portfolio.
So they're doing things right.
They are.
That's really cool to see.
But remember, these reports only tell part of the story.
Oh, true.
They're like a snapshot of a specific time. To really get a sense of their long-term sustainability, we need to look at the bigger picture.
Where?
You know, the trends, the challenges, the opportunities that are coming down the pike.
Okay, so let's put on our trend spotting hats.
I love it.
What patterns did you see in these reports that might give us some clues about what the future holds for Gordon Cooper?
Well, one thing that jumps out is how much interest rates affect their investments. During this period, interest rates were pretty low,
Yeah.
which meant they weren't earning as much as they could have.
That makes sense.
It's tough to grow your money when interest rates are flatlining.
Totally.
And then, of course, there's the whole adult student enrollment thing,
Right.
which is great for their tuition revenue.
Definitely.
But on the flip side, you've got the declining federal funding.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
It really is, especially for those programs that help make education accessible and affordable.
Right.
So it's like they're walking this financial tightrope.
That's a good way to put it, balancing those opportunities with some pretty big challenges.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But before we dive deeper into those challenges, I think it's important to bring it back to our listeners.
Oh, for sure.
Why should they care about the finances of a school like Gordon Cooper, even if you know they don't have kids there or live nearby?
Well, for starters, it's about being an informed citizen, no matter who you are or where you live,
Right.
understanding how schools get their money, how those decisions get made.
Yeah.
That empowers you to be part of the conversation about education.
It's like being more than just a taxpayer,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
It's about understanding where those dollars are going and what impact they have.
You got it.
And remember how we talked about how much Gordon Cooper depends on property taxes?
Oh, yeah.
What if something happened and property values tanked?
Oh, that would be bad.
Right. It would have a ripple effect on the whole education system. It's
No,
all connected.
it is.
But it's not just about numbers.
True.
Gordon Cooper's success is also about people. You know, the leaders, the staff, the whole community that supports them.
Absolutely.
It's inspiring.
It is.
So what can we as individuals learn from that? What can we do to support not just Gordon Cooper, but schools in our own communities?
Well, it comes down to taking action,
Okay.
getting involved in our local schools, supporting organizations that champion this kind of education, speaking up for policies that align with our values.
It's about using our voices.
Exactly. Even small actions can create a ripple effect.
Totally. So it's not just about crunching numbers, it's about people, right?
Yeah, students, teachers, families, entire communities.
These financial decisions have a real impact on people's lives.
They really do.
And they shape the future of education.
For sure.
It's a big responsibility.
It is.
Okay, so we've explored Gordon Cooper's journey from 2011 to 2016.
A time of growth, adaptation, resilience.
But I'm dying to know what happened next.
Oh, yeah.
How did they handle the ups and downs of the past few years?
Like the pandemic.
Especially the pandemic.
It's a wild ride.
Okay, let's buckle up and see what those later reports reveal.
Let's do it.
All right, so let's fast forward a bit and see how Gordon Cooper navigated the last few years.
Okay.
I'm really curious to see how the pandemic shook things up.
Yeah, it was a wild time for everyone.
For sure. So let's start with 2019.
Okay, so in 2019, we see property tax revenue still going strong.
Really?
Yeah. Even with all the economic uncertainty, it seems like the community stayed committed to supporting Gordon Cooper.
That's awesome. It's good to know they have that solid base.
Definitely consistent funding is so important for them.
Absolutely. So what about state funding? Did that hold steady too?
State contributions were pretty much in line with what we saw before.
Okay.
But here's an interesting twist.
Oh.
Federal funding actually went up in 2019.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's surprising, especially after we saw it going down in those earlier reports.
I know, right? It seems like they've been really good at going after grants and making the most of federal initiatives.
So being proactive?
Yeah, instead of just waiting for funding to fall in their lap.
That's smart. Okay, so property taxes are steady state funding is consistent. Federal funding is up. That sounds pretty good.
It does, but there are still challenges, of course.
Of course.
One thing that continued to be a bit of a drag was investment income.
Ah, right. Those low interest rates.
Exactly. It was hard for them to generate big returns on their investments.
Yeah, it's like trying to swim upstream.
It really is.
Okay, so kind of a mixed bag on the revenue side.
Yeah.
What about spending?
All right. Well, those trends we saw in the early reports, they pretty much continued.
Okay.
Support services remain a big expense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Everything just costs more these days.
Right. Utilities, building, maintenance, employee benefits, it all adds up.
And those are things they can't really cut back on.
No, they're essential.
Do they have to make any tough choices, though? Like, did they have to reduce instructional spending to balance things out?
You know what? They actually increased instructional spending in 2019.
No way.
Yeah.
So they managed to do both.
They did.
That's really impressive. It's like they're doing a financial juggling act.
They really are. They're committed to both their students and their staff.
And speaking of staff, employee benefits are a big part of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it's an investment in their people.
Exactly.
And ultimately, that benefits the students, too.
Mm-hmm. Happy teachers, happy students.
So it's all connected.
It really is.
Okay, so what about those internal controls we talked about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones that make sure everything is on the up and up.
Well, they got a clean bill of health there, too.
Awesome.
They're doing things right, and they're doing them ethically.
Transparency is key.
For sure.
Now, I'm curious about their investments.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still being super cautious, or are they branching out a bit?
It looks like they're sticking with that conservative approach.
Okay.
Which honestly makes sense for them.
Yeah.
They need stability to provide consistent, high-quality education.
It's like slow and steady wins the race.
Exactly.
Okay, so 2019 is looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They're managing their money well, adapting to challenges, and staying focused on their mission.
It's a good story.
But then 2020 happened.
Oh, yeah.
The year that threw everyone for a loop.
The pandemic.
The pandemic.
Nobody saw that coming.
Nobody. How did Gordon Cooper handle all that chaos?
You know, considering everything they did remarkably well.
I'm kind of on the edge of my seat here. Mm. Spill the details.
Okay, so remember how their property tax revenue has been super solid?
Yeah.
That trend continued even during the pandemic.
Wow, so even with a global crisis, their community still had their back.
They did. It's amazing.
That's the power of trust.
It really is.
Okay, but what about those other revenue streams? Did they take a hit?
There was a little dip in tuition and fees.
Makes sense.
Yeah, some students probably had to put their education on hold.
Yeah, tough times.
But here's the good news. Federal funding actually jumped way up in 2020.
Oh, really? So those pandemic relief packages came through?
They did. It was a lifeline for them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it helped offset some of those pandemic losses and kept things running smoothly.
That's so important. But I bet there were also a ton of unexpected costs.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, all the technology for remote learning, safety measures for in-person classes, maybe even extra support services for students who were struggling.
You're exactly right. They had to shift their priorities.
Yeah.
We see a jump in spending on technology and distance learning.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It was like the whole education world went digital overnight.
It really did. It makes you wonder if some of those changes will stick around.
I know, right?
Hey.
But even with all that new stuff, those rising support costs didn't go away.
Oh, I bet not. Those things never do.
You're right.
Did they manage to keep them under control, though?
Support services were still a big expense even during the pandemic.
They were dealing with so much.
I know, but they were committed to keeping those essential functions going, supporting their staff, making sure the learning environment was safe and functional.
So all things considered, they weathered the storm pretty well.
They did. They adapted, stayed true to their values, and got that much-needed boost from the feds.
Resilience is key.
It really is. But we're not done yet.
Oh, no.
We still have 2021 and 2023 to unpack.
Right.
Plus those estimate of needs reports.
Oh, yeah. Those give us a peek into the future.
I'm ready to see what the future holds.
Let's do it.
All right, deep divers. We're in the home stretch now, 2021.
Okay.
The pandemic is, you know, kind of winding down.
Right.
But those effects linger.
Right.
So how did Gordon Cooper fare financially as things started getting back to normal?
Well, that positive trend with their property tax revenue that kept going strong.
So even as the world was kind of, you know, getting back on its feet, that local support remained.
It did. It's a testament to the relationships they've built with the community.
Totally. But I'm wondering about those other revenue streams. Did things start bouncing back as, you know, businesses reopened, people went back to work, all that?
We do see a little bump in tuition and fee revenue.
Okay, so people are feeling more confident about investing in their education.
It seems like it.
What about state and federal funding? Any surprises there?
State funding stayed pretty much the same, which is good. Shows that Oklahoma is still committed to education.
Makes sense. But here's something interesting.
Okay.
Federal funding actually stayed high in 2021.
So even as the immediate crisis was fading, those pandemic relief funds were still making a difference.
Like they got this extra cushion to help them transition to that post-pandemic world.
Exactly. It gave them some breathing room to figure things out.
Okay, so let's switch gears a bit and talk about those estimative needs reports.
All right.
These reports give us a glimpse into, you know, Gordon Cooper's plans for the future.
Right, like their financial roadmap.
Exactly. So what did they see coming down the road? What were they thinking about?
One thing that really stands out is this theme of rising costs.
Yeah, we've talked about those support services expenses creeping up.
And that's not going to change anytime soon.
It's a tough reality for a lot of schools, right?
It is, trying to keep up with inflation, maintaining those facilities, paying competitive salaries and benefits. It's a constant struggle.
It's all about balance, right?
Yeah.
Meeting those needs, but also staying true to their mission of, you know, providing great education.
Absolutely. And these reports also emphasize how important it is to have diverse revenue streams.
So not putting all their eggs in one basket.
Exactly. They know that relying too much on property taxes could be risky.
Especially those values take a nosedive.
Right. So they're being proactive about finding other sources of income.
Like what? What are they doing?
Well, they're going after grants both state and federal.
Okay.
And they're also looking to build partnerships with businesses and industries in the area.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah, the idea is to create these win-win situations where students get real-world experience and the school gets some extra revenue.
So it's about connecting with the community and leveraging their strengths.
Exactly.
Okay, we can't talk about the future of education, especially for a tech center, without talking about tech itself.
Right. The world is changing so fast.
And the skills people need to succeed are changing even faster.
Gordon Cooper knows that, and they're committed to staying ahead of the game.
So we're talking big investments in, you know, new equipment, cutting-edge software, all
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. They're constantly updating their programs, their technology, finding new ways to integrate digital tools into the classroom.
It's about preparing students for a world where technology is everywhere.
Exactly.
But all that stuff costs money, right? How are they planning to pay for it all?
It's a juggling act. They're looking at grants, partnerships, maybe shifting some money around in their budget, and they might even look to the community for support.
So it's about making tough choices and prioritizing those investments that will really make a difference.
Mm.
But, you know, it's easy to get lost in the numbers and forget that this is all about people.
Oh, definitely.
What are Gordon Cooper's plans for their staff and instructors?
Well, the reports talk about how important it is to attract and keep good instructors, offer professional development, create a positive work environment.
It's a reminder that a school is more than just bricks and mortar. Okay, so we've gone through over a decade of Gordon Cooper's financial journey.
We have.
We've seen them deal with economic ups and downs, funding changes, new technologies. And through it all, they've stayed focused on providing top-notch vocational education.
It's been quite a ride.
It has. But as you said earlier, this is just one chapter in a much bigger story.
It is. The world of education never stands still.
So what's the big takeaway for our listeners? What should they be thinking about after this deep dive?
I hope they walk away realizing just how important school finances are and how complicated they can be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about numbers. It's about investing in people, in their potential, in the future of our communities.
And it's about all of us doing our part to support education.
Absolutely. Whether it's advocating for better policies, volunteering our time, or just staying informed and engaged.
We can all make a difference.
Exactly.
All right, deep divers, that's a wrap on our exploration of Gordon Cooper's finances.
Thanks for joining us.
It's been an adventure. And to our listeners, remember, knowledge is power. The more we understand about how things work, the better equipped we are to make a difference. So stay curious, stay engaged, and keep diving deep.